Hear a lesson. It really helps me. It helps me to understand as I look at the scriptures and try to pull this together. And there's a lot of things that I've found over the years that when I read the Bible, I find new things all the time, things that I never noticed before. And that's why it's a joy to bring this lesson to you. And I pray that this lesson will be beneficial to you. But in all, my goal is to magnify and glorify God in this lesson. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now that word image is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it's the word tselem. It comes from a root meaning to shade, a phantom, or an illusion, a resemblance, hence a representative figure. It's often referred to like an idol or picture. Now, reading the commentaries, some thought that this image represented the physical body. Others thought that this meant the image of the soul. And if you think about it, wonder, what does God see when he looks at us? Our physical body or our soul? Well, I think God can see both, depending on what he wants to look at. But I truly believe that when he looks at us, he looks at our soul. And in this case here, the question you have to ask yourself is, what is he seeing in me? When you want to look at your image, what do? You go to a mirror and look at an image. A mirror, which is also known as a looking glass, is an object that reflects an image. These mirrors, and I went back and looked at the history, mirrors were found in modern-day Turkey dating back, the scholars said 6,000 B.C., and I'm not sure I agree with their dating, but a long time ago, they were found, they actually made mirrors out of polished copper in Mesopotamia, around 4,000 B.C., in ancient Egypt around 3,000 B.C., and polished stone mirrors were found in Central and South America around 2,000 B.C. So it's been around a while. When we see our physical image in the mirror, we know that people have always been interested in mirrors, and most of us look at mirrors several times a day, some more than others. When I was a teacher, I had students, and you have to understand that I was in the Marine Corps 26 years. I always had to get up early to go to the rifle range and do physical training, but I'm not a morning person. I would get to work about an hour and a half before classes start to kind of get myself in the frame of mind. And without a doubt, every first period, I always had a cheerleader who's got that bubbly personality, and for some reason that just irked me. I had this one cheerleader. Every time I turned my back to put something aboard, she had that mirror out. She was checking her hair, checking her face, her lipstick, or whatever it was. She was always doing it. I finally said, "Why don't you put a mirror on your shoe so you can look at yourself all the time?" And she thought that was funny. But we all use mirrors. We use that as we go about our life. Even early man was interested in his image because he would look into a pool of water. In the Jewish tradition, when they are in mourning, they sit what they call Shiva. And that was to comfort mourners. And what they do is they cover the mirrors in the home because it's not a time for vanity. But imagine a world without mirrors, without reflections or without pictures. There'd be no way for us to see how people view us. We couldn't tell if our hair was messy, if our makeup was on, if our beard was trimmed. These pants made me look fat. We don't have that today. But men have made all different types of mirrors, and they some mirrors that even look inside the body. Vanity mirrors, which reflects appearance, good or flawed. If you go to a gym like Gold's Gym or any Planet Fitness, there are mirrors all around. Vanity mirrors. Some people like to look at themselves when they're working out. Some look at it simply just to make sure they're doing the technique. But they look at the mirror. Full-length mirrors. See the big picture? Your clothes. Carnival mirrors. We've all been to circuses or carnivals. And what do we see? A distorted mirror that shows your different ways our bodies, our height, our weight are distorted. Rear view mirrors. We use this every day to see who's coming up behind us and where we've been. Side mirrors to see who's alongside us or who's approaching us. What I'd like to propose to you today that the Word of God is represented as a mirror. Why? Because it makes objects manifest. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I also am fully known. But now abides faith, hope, and love in these three, and the greatest of these is love. Turn to James, the first chapter. And these verses in James is basically the core of our lesson today. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself, and goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. This shows us the importance of being doers of the word. The Bible is the standard, and it shows man the way. It shows if we need changing in our life. Men and mirrors and women. Mirrors will show our imperfections. As I said, some of these mirrors that we look at show distortions, like you might find, as I said, in a car. But the Bible, it does not show any distortion. It is perfect. As it says in verse 25, but he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues, being a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. The purpose of a mirror fundamentally is to reveal, to give a true reflection. A mirror tells it like it is, good or bad. If a correction is to be made, a person who looks in the mirror must make that correction. God's word is the mirror of the soul, which shows us what corrections that we must take. And the Bible tells it like it is. What it tells us is not always a pleasing picture. Seeing ourselves in a mirror does not change us. We have, once we see something, we have to take action to correct that. And like a physical mirror, the correction must be done by the individual. The Word of God only helps in revealing that which needs to be changed. If we see the perfections and our imperfections in ourselves, we look at the Word, and then if we don't do anything to correct them, then we're like the person who James refers to in verse 24, who looks in the mirror, walks away, and straightway forgets who he is. The mirror does not help him, and God's Word does not help a person who forgets. But God's Word reveals many things. As I said, it reflects your origin. When you look into it, as God said in Genesis chapter 1 that we read, and God said, let's make man in our image, like our likeness. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. So God shows our beginning. God mirror also reveals your doings. In Romans the 3rd chapter, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see here that God reveals your doings, the things that you know that are not right. God's mirror also reveals your need. Turn to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. But God commends his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. So God's mirror reveals your need, the need to be saved. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, if you'd like to turn there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and questionings, that ye may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. And what does a mirror do? It reflects that light. Okay? And so we look at God's word, that mirror that looks into the soul. It also reveals your destiny. In John, the 5th chapter, if you'd like to turn there. John 5, beginning in verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. So God reveals the destiny of mankind. We either use that mirror or don't use that mirror. But those who stand before the mirror of the word, there are some of whom it might almost be said that they shut their eyes and thus receive no impression from the word at all. Without mirrors, we cannot see our own selves, and therefore we tend to focus on others. If we don't have that mirror to look into, we may develop a judgmental spirit because we don't see others as God sees them. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector, where the Pharisee looked at the tax collector. And he basically said, I pray I'm not like this man. And all of his things were done for show, whereas the tax collector was humble and was not even... could not even look to heaven because of his humility. But in this case here, we see that people will have that judgmental spirit because they do not look into that mirror of your soul. They do not look at the word. And sometimes they also develop an envious soul because they don't see ourselves as God sees us. So if we reflect on the word of God, we know that God loves you and me. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We know that God gives gifts to both you and me. Some, you know, have gifts of creativity. Some have people gifts of scholarship. Some have physical capabilities. Some give us that sense of knowing of where we're going. Some give us the ability to be righteous and to strive to please God and keep his commandments. But once again, God says if you ask, you will receive. We need all to be praying and asking God. Now the mirror, God's mirror tells us it is a time for us to take a good look at ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you'd like to look at that verse. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, try your own selves, whether ye are in the faith. Prove your own selves. And know ye not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed ye be reprobate. So the mirror will tell us that we should take a good look at ourselves and how we are living. Okay? God looks at us and he sees our soul. Is it white as snow? Or do we have blemishes that we need to correct? Without God's mirror, we see problems without solutions. God allows injustices in this world because we do. God wants us to be the solutions of problems. But I can't change the world, only me. But if I change and draw a line in the sand against injustice, against sin, maybe you will also change with me. But it starts with us as a people of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? What happens when we look in the rear view mirror in our cars? We see those people who are coming towards us. But without the rear view mirror, we can't see behind us. Granted, we may spend too much time looking in the past and miss the journey before us. But the Bible looks back to look ahead. It shows us the promises and actions of God. If he did something in the past, he will do it again. And therefore, we know that the Old Testament is certainly a guide for us. As we said earlier in class, it's a tutor for us in our life. So we need to refer to the Old Testament because it points the way, and throughout the entire Old Testament, the theme is Jesus Christ and his coming and what he will do for mankind. So we need to avail ourselves of the Old Testament as well as the New. Sometimes we can miss the people that we are influencing. In Matthew 28, we're told he gave the instruction to go out and teach the world. Sometimes we can miss the people that we intentionally try to influence. Okay, 2 Timothy said then, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So in this case here, we should be ready and willing to teach people about God, about his word. Disciples are those that we influence for Jesus, formerly or informally, children, neighbors, or co-workers. There's so much out there of people that we can influence. And we don't have to do it by sitting down doing a Bible study. We can do it by our actions and how we live our lives. But if you don't like what you see in the Bible, when you look in the mirror of your soul, don't get mad at the mirror. Normally, most people don't get mad at the mirror, no matter what the imperfections show. But why get mad at God's mirror? The atheist looks in the mirror, and what does he see? He sees that he is a fool. Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There's none that does good." That person can change, or he can get mad at the mirror, who will look at the mirror so that he may see. The alien sinner may react the same way when he looks in the mirror and see that he is a sinner and is called to obey the gospel. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, "And said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and baptizes shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you'd like to look there. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. That's good. We'll start at verse 7. "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with angels of his power and flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." Sometimes Christians may react in the same way. Turn to Titus, the second chapter. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto us a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These people speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Once again, describes us as a peculiar people. We're different from the world. We are not common. We strive to be, to do the things that Jesus Christ would have us to do. Once again, don't get mad at the mirror. Don't get mad at the Bible. Some don't get mad. They look for Bible in the Bible verses that might support their position. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders, says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye might keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Keeping the commandments. You remember what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So the proper use of the mirror, God's word, is important. The mirror should be used obediently. Let's go back to James, the first chapter. And I've read these verses and continue to read these verses several times. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is to hear the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But he that looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty," and so continues, "being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing." So the mirror should be used regularly and frequently, okay, because we forget. Particularly at my age, I forget a lot of things. But we need to have that word on and read it every day and to meditate on it. Sometimes I get the habit of just reading and not thinking about it. But you've got to think about it and whatever you do, and meditate upon it. It's very important. And there's things, a lot of things in there that affect your life about God. And as we look at our world today, we see the evil, the corruptions, the perversions, and abominations. Okay? And we need to think about that word and what we can do. We can pray for our leaders, we can pray for our nation. Okay, that they might turn. We also need to pray for our children and our grandchildren as well, that they might hear the word of God. And that's why it's so important for us to plant seeds. So this mirror should be used regularly. In Psalms, the first chapter, beginning at verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night." We need to think about these words. We need to pray about them. And sometimes we need to research. Going into, I don't know if you have that capability, but you can look at the old Hebrew or the old Greek, because it brings a certain aspect that perhaps you've never understood. As we talked about today, about paradise and the garden, things that were perhaps that we never thought about before. And that's what's so exciting about the Bible, because there's always something new that you may have overlooked. So we know that the prayers of the mirror is an important tool. We use to make that sure that our appearance is presentable when we step out into society. We look in the mirror and check our appearance before a job interview, before we go to school or to work. How many days do we look in the mirror but look at our physical image? Likewise, the Bible is the mirror of the soul, reveals and reflects the real us. Faith focuses on the unseen. Faith is assurance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. The Bible shows us the way to perfection. In James 1:25, we read that one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, in this case, perfection means maturity. Acceptable behavior. Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So are you looking into the mirror of your soul? It reveals our heart, and our hearts reflect the real us. In Proverbs 27:19, it says, as in water, face reflects face. So the heart of man reflects the man. Those who hear the word of God in general receive some impression on their mind. It seems impossible for a sane person to hear a message so plain and so peculiar as that of the word of God. But many do, and they forget. So the question is, what is your Bible reflecting about you? What is the real meditation of your heart? Use your mirror. Some people believe that when you break a mirror, you get 7 years bad luck. But what happens when a person breaks God's mirror and that person faces eternal consequences? When we look on the Word of God, we see greater clearance than any reflector in the attributes and perfections of the Lord. There was a man, he was a professor, and he taught Greek culture. He was asked by a student, of course, he had opened at the end, do I have any questions? So one kid stood up and said, what is the meaning of life? And so what he did is he reached into his back pocket, pulled out his wallet, and pulls out a round mirror. He said, when I was a child during the war, we were very poor and lived in a remote area. One day on the road, I found a broken piece of mirror. A German motorcycle had wrecked in that place. Tried to find all the pieces, but he couldn't. So he decided to take the largest piece, and he would use a stone. He'd round the edges. Okay? And then by scratching on the stone, he'd made it round and began to play with it as a toy and became fascinated by the fact that he could reflect light into dark places where the sun would never shine, in deep holes and crevices. And for a young boy, also dark closets, which sometimes can be scary. It became a game for him to get light in the most inaccessible places I could find. So I kept the little mirror, and as I was growing up, I would take it out in moments and continue the challenges of the game. So as I became a man, I grew to understand this was not just a child's game, but a metaphor of what I might do with my life. I came to understand that I'm not the light or the source of light, but light, truth, understanding, knowledge is there and will shine in many places. And that mirror can shed that light onto him. He says, I am a fragment of mirror, and with what I can reflect light into that dark. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, but we all with open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So we see here, by looking into that mirror, God's mirror, that line shine upon us, and our light will shine to those dark places. And this world is full of dark, full of perversions, abominations. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the question is, how does God see your image? How does God see your soul? Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. That him knocks, it shall be opened. So think about this when you open your Bible. It's God's mirror. It will show you your origin, your doings, your destiny. It will also bring to light those things that are important for you. Once again, to fear God, keep His commandments, to praise God. So we need to look in the mirror daily, not just once a week, but daily, and to meditate upon that. As David said, I said he would go to sleep at night, or if he was herding the sheep, in the dark watches of the night, he would meditate upon the words of God. So I urge you to do the same thing. And then use that mirror to help yourself and to grow in grace before our Lord. Think on these things as we stand and sing.
Our closing song is 5:56. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson floor. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on. Through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Tears of past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valleys low. Guiding me, I can see, as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Brother From, great summer. If any man